This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Is this Aaron?
First of all, this is your show, sir.
This is my show?
Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry.
I appreciate that. And what day is today?
If I told you today is the day that you're supposed to pay me day, will that suffice?
No, that wouldn't. That
okay, would never not. Mind. It is Tuesday, the 5th of March, 2024.
That means Uncle Sarah got to be with us then, since it's Tuesday. So today's Tuesday, March 5th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Newry, and I shall be your host for the day. That means, like I said, Dr. Cleveland Aeneas III is here in-house, and we'll be interrogating this Christian. Let me see if I pronounce that right. Uncle, make sure Uncle Mike is on. Go ahead.
Namastu, can I be heard?
Yeah, do it again.
Namastu.
Yes.
Yes, Namastu means I bow to the divinity in you. My name is Pastor Dr. Cleveland W. Aeneas III, also known as Kahun Anku Sara. And as always, good to be here with my brother and sister on Guardian Radio AM.
Uncle,
so it's good to be here. Go ahead, man.
In brotherly and sisterly love, let's send a happy birthday shout out to Anari Albury.
Anari, I want you to have a very, very happy birthday.
From your Sport family.
From the Sport family. My birthday is Saturday, so that means you know.
Your birthday is Saturday?
Well,
yeah. Mr. Newry, when your birthday is?
I don't remember.
Well, listen, let me say happy birthday to my brother-in-law, best brother-in-law ever, Serge Lambert. And again, Anari from the Sport 242. And happy belated birthday to Diane Phillips.
Oh, happy birthday, Diane Phillips.
She's a part of the Guardian platform. She's on regularly with Lester Cox.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. Thank you for that speech.
Yeah, man, cool. Uncle, Christian.
That's how I pronounce it? Carestian.
One of these days I will be able to pronounce it properly.
Yeah.
Last week we had a discussion. Before we had this discussion for today, I had numerous texts that questioned your Christianity. They said, they questioned whether your religion, whether this Christian religion that you follow, this Black Messiah religion, whether it's truly Christian and whether that you preach salvation. Is there salvation in this religion? Because what we see Christianity starts with being saved, right? You know, confess thy sins and, you know, Aaron, you go to church? How do you think we just confess your sins? And thou shalt be safe. Go.
Every night, that's how it go. Every night I confess my sins. I mean, that's what you meant?
No. I'll move on.
Okay.
You need to go to this church more. But anyway.
Good morning, Father Joaquin and the entire St. Anne's community.
Yes.
I remember.
Father Joaquin ain't there no more, though.
That's not the point. I remember.
Father Times in St. Anne's. That should tell you how long you'll be in the church. And just let me know.
It's nice to meet you, Father Times.
Yes, yeah. I'm real concerned about your soul and thing, but we can talk to Uncle Sarah. I want to know, can you be saved in this Coptic Church or the Black Messiah? Because I want to get to heaven, and I'm not sure if I can make it to heaven with this Black religion.
Right. So it's a very good question. It's an important question. The week before, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, we were talking about the book of Revelations, or what is called the book of Revelations today, which originally as a book is called Ba'istanjil. And this phrase or this word or this title, Ba'istanjil, is a original title of the book of Revelations, which means salvation, the book of salvation. So indeed, the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah offers salvation, understanding that salvation is not just merely a pie in the sky idea. It's not an abstract idea. We understand that we have to be saved from poverty. We have to be saved from miseducation. We have to be saved from misinformation. We have to be saved from misinterpretation. We have to be saved from the ills of the societies that have oppressed us for millennia now, okay, whereby we no longer speak our original languages. We no longer speak or understand our original scriptures. We no longer have our true religious identity, is what we would say. So we understand that there are nine areas of people activity, as taught to us by one of our great Babas, Neely Fuller Jr. Still alive, 90-something years old now. He's on the radio just about every week. But he talked about these nine areas of people activity: religion, economics, labor, sex, gender, education, law, war, security, entertainment, and politics. These nine areas of people activity is what we must get all knowledge of in order to understand these nine areas of people activity in order to control our destiny. That is the salvation that we seek. When we talk about a savior or a messiah, that savior or messiah ultimately in each generation guides those of his tribe, of his blood, to be able to live in a way whereby they can control these nine areas of people activity. So when you talk about a Jesus or Yahshua, whereby he was saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he was saying, "I am the example of what each of us who want to actually have this salvation or be able to control our destiny, I'm going to live a way of life that will guide those who embrace it in such a way where you can be free from," when they say free from sin, you're talking about being free from adverse forces. You're talking about being free from oppressive forces. Sin in the Bible was not just an abstract concept, but an actual man. In the book of Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, where it talks about sin lying at the door, because Cain was being warned. Sin lieth at the door. You understand? And unto him shall be your desire. So this reality of sin being an abstract concept is not African. We understood that there was a beast man, or a ruler of the beast, or a ruler of a beast mentality. The book of Revelation chapter 13 talks about the actual image of the beast. It talks about governmental structure, seven heads and 10 crowns, etc. So this reality of having salvation was about embracing who you truly are and understanding that you have a divinity within you. As the Messiah would say in the book of John chapter 10, verse 30, "I and the Father are one." But we understand the word Father is not there. If you look up that word in the Greek, this word Pater, it means both parents. None of us came here because of just our father. You understand? 23 chromosomes from the mother, 23 chromosomes from the father. So embracing who we truly are and understanding the genetics, the DNA, the RNA, the chromosomes, and what was initially intended by nature, by the Most High Heavenly One, in order for us to fully harness the potential that we have inside of us, that's the salvation we're seeking.
Your concept of atonement, of salvation, doesn't seem Pentecostal at all. It seems very orthodox. Like I was talking about the orthodox religion yesterday, very Catholic oriented, but it seems like there's a lot of works. You're living a life, but there's no commitment to God, like a transformation of, see, being Baptist, right? Once upon a time as Baptist, you, as you confess with thy mouth your sins, something's supposed to happen to you. and then you become born again. Yes, that's what it is. The concept of being born again. This is what I'm challenging you on. Mm-hmm. The concept of being born again. Is there a place for the born again Christian?
Right.
Which is completely not, I'm not saying not allowed, not involved inside these Orthodox type religion. That concept of being born again. And like I said, with terms of Catholics and Anglicans and Methodists. But the Pentecostals have born again. I want to know if you have a born again spot, yeah. position.
In fact, the reality of being baptized, this original rite of what we know as mikwah, this being baptized and being ultimately repentant in your behavior, reconsidering what it was that you were living and saying to yourself, I now need to go in another direction. I need to go back towards this word to convert. In the Hebrews, the word shub, it means to go back. To go back. In Africa, in the African traditional way of saying this word is sankofa. To go back and fetch. In order to go forward, we must go back to learn about the old landmarks, to understand what we did as a people when we ruled ourselves. When we ruled ourselves, there was a way of life that came along with that. Unfortunately, we want the results of ruling ourselves without the actual works. So the reality of there's plenty works. The works is actually living the examples that have been placed before us by the real and living Messiah, Yahshua Christ, and all of the others who have sacrificed their lives in order for us to control our destiny. The Marcus Garveys, the Elijah Muhammads, the Haile Selassies, the Harriet Tubmans, the Yah Asantewas, the Assets, the Asarus, the Silsila, this unbroken genetic chain of ancestors that said to us, this is the way we need to operate if we're going to rule ourselves.
And I hear you.
Mm-hmm.
And last week we had persons who called in who questioned whether anything good can come out of Africa,
mm-hmm.
right? That Africa needed salvation. That's why Christianity had been brought in to Africa to save us, or we all doomed into hell.
And then,
in fact, that if you are not Christian, and that's this European Christianity that we have, which we preach within our churches, a European version, right?
Mm.
If you don't adopt this European version, and that includes Baptist, Anglican, Methodist, and every other religion that we have here, you're doomed for hell.
Right.
I'm trying to say, is there space for heaven? I have a question where you believe in heaven too. Mm. Is there space for in heaven for a African Christian, right? Your concept. Because if you're not European, you can't get into my God heaven.
Uncle, if I could read this text along with Cecil's question.
Okay.
The text says, so the short answer is there is no concept of salvation of the soul akin to the Christian concept of everlasting life in the Coptic church.
Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Texter. It says, "Why, where I am, there may ye be also, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Jesus didn't save Barabbas, quote, this, close quotes, day, you will be with me in paradise, to free up his economics." And that's fine. People have free will and can believe what they want to believe. Just an interesting text.
See, a very European one.
Yeah, and I understand why they may perceive that answer in that way, because we have to identify soul, we have to identify heaven, we have to identify hell. These are all abstracts in Greco-Roman theology. There's no tangible heaven. There's no tangible hell. There's no tangible soul. So once you have a abstract, if you have all these abstracts basically controlling people's thoughts, then there's no real salvation in that, because everything that you think you're doing to achieve something that doesn't actually exist just turns into your belief, your traditions, ultimately your religion. But the African theology is not that. First of all, let's understand what soul is. Soul for us is tangible, and it is found in the blood. Today, scientists call it DNA. deoxyribonucleic acid. That deoxyribonucleic acid is coming out of a storehouse of souls or DNA called the chromosomes. The chromosomes, in our medical texts, we refer to chromosomes as what you refer to as the Akh. The Akh, the A-K-H, the etheric side of, because we are etheric beings. What do I mean by that? Most people will say that we are physical beings, but you're only about 20% physical. You're mostly liquid and ether. You're an etheric being that is being perceived as physical. So we never saw the soul as an actual abstract. The spirit now, in the medical texts, because we had the pyramid of Saqqara, which was built by Imhotep, which any doctor, any medical doctor who has had to take the Hippocratic Oath has pledged there or has given homage to Imhotep via the name Asclepius whenever they recite the Hippocratic Oath. Asclepius was the Greco-Roman way of saying Imhotep. And within the medical text, we understood that the spirit or the personality was referred to as the RNA. The RNA interprets the DNA, or the spirit interprets the soul, whereby we all come from a bloodline, but our personalities are all different based on our environment. That's important because a physical soul, a physical heaven, as a matter of fact, the glyph for spirit is a person holding, like when you in church holding up your hands. I'm just trying to give people on the radio an image. If you're holding up your hand and you say you praising, that is the glyph for Ka or spirit. Having a physical spirit or physical soul, you would need a physical heaven. The heaven that is being referenced scripturally, they talk about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The heaven is on earth. But the rules...
Are you trying to say anger in heaven?
I didn't say that.
Okay, just making sure.
I'm saying that the heaven is a celestial... There's celestial heavens. But there's a heaven on earth. That heaven on earth was indeed Africa. Because they tell you there's gold, there's milk, there's honey, there's all of the things that you would find in a tropical environment.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So the heaven for us was not leaving earth and going further than the furthest star. It was creating the environment here on earth that has already been established in the celestial heavens.
Mr. Newey, you ever watching TV and you feel like you realize European descent people treat Africa like it's their heaven, right? And like they're entitled to it. The gold, the milk, the honey, the manna.
And that's why I find it so, what's the word I want? Funny, that's the word I want. When people say nothing good could come out of Africa, when everything that you call good is being built from the actual resources
in Africa.
From Africa, including the people. Because we, the African people, we are that which created the European heaven.
Mm-hmm. Just a quick note for listeners and from everybody in the room as well, right? There's a distinction between understanding and believing. I know, like, in these conversations, some people, they get very upset, right? Mm-hmm. Because they don't believe what they're hearing. But for the purpose of this conversation, I want to make a distinction between understanding and believing and ask yourself this question. Do you understand what's being said? You don't have to believe it to understand it, right? And in fact, any interrogation you make of it requires you being able to understand it.
Right, and use that same critical eye in your church.
Mm-hmm.
Look at your Bible the same way. Ask your priest the same questions you're asking me. I love the questions. But can you do this in your church? Because in many instances, you can't. The word heaven, when we look at it in the English, in the etymology, it means, in part, literally a covering, and it comes from a Proto-Indo-European root, chem. All right? This word chem is short for Kemet, or what they call Egypt today. So they're telling you that the heaven that they're talking about is the Egypt or the Kemet or the Chemis. They say Chemis, this word Chemis, they say is, they talk about a shirt, an undershirt. They talk about, and I'm just going through the words so you understand that language is key. You understand? This was actually a form of covering, all right? So when we talk about a covering in religion, whereby you're going to pray for or cover a person in prayers, the reality of who we are and were as Africans, as those who came from the land of Kem or Kemet, we had a way of life that all others came into our universities to learn from us. And after they used us to build the first world, to actually create their first world economies, then they turn around and call us pagan. We have no friends on this earth because we have been a part of everybody's slave trade. And they love to say, well, slavery is something that was always a part of the planet, and there was slavery in Africa too. There was not chattel slavery. When Joseph went into Egypt, he became an actual ruler in Egypt. You understand? We did not have the inhumane, degrading treatment that we have had to undergo as a people.
Take the physical, the gross, heinous physical aspect of that treatment out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's sufficient to understand that removing people from their language, making them feel like they had no language of their own.
Disorienting us, yes.
Removing them from their ancestral lands, making them feel like they had no land of their own. And removing them from their God, making them feel like they had no God of their own.
And then after you put
that's before the physical brutality, like whipping people because they don't want to get up and urinate when you say
you're Africa. Confusing me. Because you're trying to say the God of Africa, the African races, is the same God or superior than the Lord Jesus?
Let's go.
You're confusing me. No. I know the European one.
Let's go to two verses.
That's Jesus,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's God. Mm-hmm. And everything out of that, they secondary. Gotta be secondary. Can Africa have a God that is equal?
Let's go to the book of Hosea. I'm going to go to the Blue Letter Bible.
In the minds of the atheist, Marie, all gods are equal. Let's take it from that perspective.
Okay. And we go to Hosea chapter 13.
I see. You look for your Hosea. I'm trying to say that he's trying to say the African God.
I'm not doing anything but reading the scripture.
You find that scripture.
I have it.
You already?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. I go quiet.
Hosea 13:4. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me.
Wait. God from where?
Hosea 13:4, King James Version.
You know, read it again, because I didn't understand what you said. Go say
okay.
it again.
Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt.
Lord have mercy.
And thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. Now, further to that, let's go to the book of Matthew, because you mentioned Jesus. Did Jesus want us to actually worship him the way that the Greco-Romans have said we must worship him? All right? If we go to the book of Matthew, chapter 19, I'll start at verse 16. It says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? This is the conversation we're having today, this idea of salvation. What must I do? And he said unto him, this is the Messiah, Yeshua, why callest thou me good? What you calling me good for? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. So this is the Messiah saying, what you calling me good for? What you trying to worship me for? Worship the Most High. Hold on. Further to that, he told him, if you want this life, he didn't even say eternally, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. If you don't keep the commandments, you end up with what type of heart? A cold heart. The book of Matthew 24, one last thing, Matthew 24, it talks about this reality of having a cold heart. And in having a cold heart, I know we're about to go to the break, all right? In having this Matthew 24, around verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, because you don't want to follow the commandments, it says that you will have, the love of many shall wax cold. But that phrase, love of many shall wax cold, is the word psycho. When you don't follow the law, you become a psycho. That's in the Greek.
We can talk about the Greek when we come back. But just now I got text
like three different texts, four from my in-laws, my sister-in-law, my sister-in-law Debbie, my sister-in-law Pat, awesome. Who said, you should know better, Cecil, basically, right? Because I started St. Anne's when Father Joaquin was transitioning to go to St. Matthew's.
Mm-hmm.
And then Father Bartlett, who I came in with, is director of St. Anne's. And when he was talking, I thought we were talking about St. Matthew's, but let me read what he said.
You lead me down the road to iniquity. That's yes, what it was, you.
Clearly,
it's
said, correction. Father Joaquin was some years ago director of St. Anne's. When he left St. Anne's, he was assigned to St. Matthew's, where he spent 10 or more years. He is now assistant priest at Church of the Holy Spirit in Chippenham. Currently, Canon Basil Tithes is now rector of St. Matthew's Church. Archdeacon Hugh Bartlett is now director in charge of St. Anne's, the church on the Holy Hill. See, then you start talking to my wife, need to inform me, etc. But I just want to correct it on record. I should have known better.
I will stand with you, brother, in
back. You need to go to church more, Aaron. I can invite you Sunday.
Then you can pick me up.
See, that club ain't going. We're talking to Reverend Clinus Aeneas III. I'm going to challenge him about this Greco-Roman religion, right? And because I see that he's trying to say Africa, good things can come out of Africa, and that we can respect them as religion. And I'm saying, hey, I know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more European with my religion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of Europeanish. Anyway, we got to go and break.
It's a good thing everything, including European religion, came out of Africa.
Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Neri. Earlier, Aaron was saying that you can believe. No, you say it like how you said it, Aaron.
I said there's a distinction between understanding something and believing that which you understand. But it's also important to know that it doesn't make sense to say you don't believe something if you don't quite understand what it is you're talking about.
See, I follow a Christian religion. This Christian religion that I follow, the original text was in Aramaic, an African language. Then the Greeks came out of nowhere and translated the Aramaic into Greek. Then the Romans came and translated the Greek into Latin. Now we have a Latin and Greek people telling me that the people who originally spoke the language, who the history, who the religion came from, nothing good could come from them. Right? It got to have to be sanitized. And that's being sanitized now to be now Latin and Greek. And I'm trying to say, I hear you with your African religion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I then sanitize.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that for me to go to heaven, I can't be embracing no African religion. We have a caller right now.
Okay.
We have a caller right now. And I can let you respond to that because you will make me black. And I'm trying to say, I'm beyond that now. Because Christ can't be just black.
Right.
Even though he named Yeshua.
Right.
I don't call him Yeshua no more. He named Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is the way now.
Right.
And the truth. And the light. Not Yeshua. And that's it. Let's go to the caller. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah. Bob, sound like a ball of confusion. But listen up. I noticed that the gentleman opened the show saying something about he bowed to the divinity in you. Am I correct in hearing that?
You are correct.
That is so powerful. Because I was able to help some kids in school. They have this group study where they do project in groups so that the weaker ones are being helped by the stronger ones.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's a very powerful exercise that's being done in schools. And I think that should start from primary school straight on up. So I would get to know you better.
Mm-hmm.
And my greatness or whatever I've been blessed with, I can mm-hmm. share it with you.
Divinity, yes.
Yeah, and we don't do that. But I don't want you confused, Mr. Nuri, because he ain't about the divinity in you. All right? But I can tell you what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I follow my mother.
Mm.
And I'm looking to see her when I die. I'm not looking to see any white, black, or yellow man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking to her because, can you tell me how souls transmigrate to this solar system?
So
what tool they use?
Sure.
Good. Could I listen and then respond?
Sure. So first of all, when we talked about the soul, I don't know if you were listening earlier, and we talked about the soul being what they call the DNA. Not that the soul is the DNA, but the best understanding of it is the DNA, the best physical aspect of it, which means that the celestial heavens that we are referencing is also within us. Matter of fact, the book of Luke chapter 17, the Messiah says the kingdom of heaven is within. So the celestial heavens are also within us as well as without us, in, through, and around us. So they migrate by way of a man and a woman coming together and giving birth to a child. That's one way, yes?
Through the womb. That's the only way I know.
Yes.
Now tell me some other ways.
Well, when that child eventually matures and gets to the point of, where they die, as they would say, or transition, there are things that, and we always had rituals or way of dealing with this person that was transitioning. There were things that we did because the energy is neither created or destroyed, but it is transferred from one body or one place form to the other. And so that energy finds the actual bloodline. And I'm not telling you something abstract. I don't have time to go into it scientifically.
I know exactly what you're saying.
There are actual crystals in the blood that actually go from one person to the next. This happens. All right? So this reality of souls and the transmigration of souls is very real in the African theology. Yeah, it's very scientific. Yeah. And the aspect that...
Not in the Anglican and Catholic churches now.
Well, they'll have to speak for themselves, but the reality...
I went to all of them, and I don't hear it there.
Right.
That's why I knew he's confused.
Right. So this is why the Holy Coptic Church is necessary in this day and time, for those who want to embrace it in this way. Mm-hmm. We're not telling you to leave your church. We're not saying stop being Anglican or Catholic or Jehovah's Witness or atheist, for that matter. We are here for those that need it this way. And so for those people who need it this way, come on, let's go.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much. Yeah. Nuri, now you got it.
I can stay Anglican. Thanks very much.
I know.
Thank you very much, caller. We have one more caller here.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, caller. Caller going once. Can you hear me? Hello. I can hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Nuri.
Hello.
Good day to you, Ms. Green and Anku.
Morning.
Just coming up with surgery, man. You know, the thing is, I'd like to thank Anku for debunking the spiritual perjury.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, I had called Anku months ago, got in an argument with someone in high school chat, and Anku pointed me, I had read it, but couldn't remember where to find it. There's Hosea chapter 13, I am the Lord thy God, I come out of the land of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are being raped so much mentally, right? And spiritually, that he couldn't conceive that the Lord said, I am the Lord thy God, coming out of Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought I would call and show that this is how we think now.
Mm-hmm.
We can't think beyond what we have taught. Our minds were caught. Mm-hmm. Some of us were bought. And this is very sickening for me. Just keep it on, brother. See you, Nui. I started to like your shows, man. All right, keep it up.
Just start to like. I could find the scripture where the Lord say, I have given up Egypt and put Israel above all of those. No, I could find that scripture too. But let me go.
We could explain it too.
I can have you explain it. But let me go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My thing. What I was thinking. All right. When they say nothing good comes out of Africa. If nothing good came out of Africa, which we all know is a big lie,
mm-hmm.
because during, I think, a convention during the European, they divided up Africa into different sections,
right.
And each of the European nation took Africa, and didn't. No African leader was involved in that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So another thing is this, nothing good come out of Africa, right? Yeshua himself, God said, I will send forth
my son out of Egypt,
mm-hmm.
which is Yeshua, mm-hmm. who is they call the Christ. So you try to tell me he's no good?
Mm.
Now, another thing, if Africa was nothing good come out of Africa, why did the Europeans brought us out of Africa in chains
mm.
to work on their plantation to empower the European nations and including America?
Mm.
So if nothing good comes of Africa, then what are they talking about? And I'll go further than that.
Mm.
I'll come to our country and the Bahamas. They keep telling us we have no natural resources.
Mm.
Nothing to admit. We have no lignite. We have no oil. We have no this. We have no that. You see, I see the same playbook.
Yeah.
If you keep believing that you have nothing good in your country, you begin to believe it. And other people, the European who's thinking like that, will take your resources from you, and you will end up with nothing. And that's what Africa is happening in Africa right now.
Mm-hmm.
Many Africans are a rich nation, but the people are very poor because they are reaping everything out of Africa, and they are not giving anything to the people of Africa. And Africa, like Bob Marley once said, Africa must unite in order to be a strong and powerful nation. And if you do that, it will be the most powerful nation upon the face of the earth.
Amen.
Amen.
I just want to remind everyone that hell hot.
We're just being hell hot.
Let's put the next call. Next call in there, producer.
And we end right now.
Hell hot. Yeah. I hear what you're talking about.
You know, the word for fire is poor, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Go ahead, producer. Pass the call through. Go ahead, caller.
I forget. Somebody distracted me. This is a quick input here. So I would like to hear a good comment on it to show you how we are being duped out of our minds. All right, geese. Right, Angu, geese is a Semitic language, right?
Oh,
I was trying to find out why they never mentioned that geese is Semitic.
Yeah.
It's an Ethiopian language.
Yeah.
It's a cognate language mm-hmm. to Aramaic and Aramaic, right? So why don't tell us that? Why is it that nothing Semitic can be coming out of Africa? Why are they doing this? That's what I'm saying. Explain what geese is to the people, please.
Well, before we go there, let's just be clear about why they're doing it. Isaiah 29 and 10, "For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes, the prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered." This is the hell that we're in right now. They don't want us to understand the original languages that we spoke, because to understand those languages means that we would see the scriptures from an African perspective, and understanding scripture from an African perspective gives no power to the European, gives no power to racism, white supremacy, racism,
imperialism
at the whole. So the reality of the situation is, they must keep us in their language. They must keep us in their mindset so that we continue to sleep in this and staggering and this drunkenness that we're in right now.
And that's why one of the most pernicious parts of chattel slavery is the removal of language.
Yes.
My nephew Isaiah is listening, actually. He stayed home from school.
Master Isaiah.
A young man, and he's listening and asking all kinds of questions, too.
Beautiful.
I wanted to ask about the blood. Mm-hmm. You mentioned RS. What is it? Blood?
mRNA.
Yes.
RNA.
The Jehovah's Witnesses don't like blood transfusion. They said there's power in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what kind of power there is inside the blood, but the Jehovah's Witnesses said there's power in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
Are you trying to say there's power inside the blood?
I mean, your church said. I mean, first of all, I just want to say before you said you know,
that's the blood
said.
Of Jesus. Yeah. That's the blood of Jesus. That's not our blood.
Right. In the blood, there's life. This is what the book of Genesis talks about. In making reference to the story of Noah, they talk about how to gaze or how to clean the animal that you're going to eat. You must make sure that you're, because even in the Bahamas we do it a lot. We put the vinegar, we put the lemon and the lime. You have to let that sit to get that blood out. You understand? The reason why you have to get that blood out is because in the blood there's life. That life is not only power, sometimes it's parasites, you
mm-hmm.
understand? But the reality of there being blood or power in the blood is, if you just put the Bible on for a second and pick up Biology 101, if you lose your blood, you're going to die, you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So there's definitely power in the blood. That blood is taking the oxygen and other nutrients around and taking the waste products out. So, yes, there's definitely power in the blood.
And then let's remember halal practices.
Mm-hmm.
Certain religions, they have strict codes on how you cull and
that's correct.
And
we do, too.
Dress meat, right?
It's called
you remove the blood from it.
Yes.
It sounds like you're trying to say the Jehovah's people were right.
Now, I don't see Jehovah's, you'd have to bring a Jehovah's Witness to talk about that, but
what? Let's not say that they're right. Let's just say that they are, that the Jehovah's Witness experience gives you an opportunity to understand more what it is you are interrogating.
Yeah, they would have to come and explain why they do that. But I'll say this. We originally had tribes whereby we understood blood type and we understood who could give blood in the case of an emergency. The same way today, if a Jewish person in New York needs to go to the hospital, they have a whole Jewish floor. They have a whole Jewish ambulance. They have a whole Jewish blood bank. So the reality is, we're not, I'm not getting into the Jehovah's Witness understanding of
blood. I'm more surprised that the Jews have their own blood.
Yeah.
They're taking my...
No, think about it. They have their own practices.
That's what I'm saying. It's a tribe. It's a way of life.
I want some kosher blood.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I want kosher blood.
How would you look eating kosher food and making sure you have all of these things in place, and then when it comes to an emergency, you won't put anybody blood inside your body? Now, I mean, you may need it to be alive, but that's the decision of the people who need the blood.
I want kosher blood.
The point is, the Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah is saying this. We got to control these nine areas of people activity. This is our salvation.
Remind me of the nine areas. I come to
religion,
you.
See, your religion controls your economics. Without economics, you have no labor pool. Once you have that, now you can start a family because you need to make a nest before you bring the eggs. So your family structure must be that which allows for you to have children and allow for you to build a nation, whereby now you must educate them. In educating them, you're educating them on the customs of your society, the laws, etc., which is the next area of people activity, the law. You must understand the law of the land. You must understand spiritual and universal laws. Then you move into war security. After you have all of those things in place, you must now secure it. And then we can go into entertainment and politics. Politics is the very last level of people activity. And because things in this country are backwards, we start first with politics.
I like politics and entertainment.
I didn't say you shouldn't like it. I'm saying the order that we put it in, you can't control your society if you start with politics. It's like trying to wag a dog with the tail. It won't work.
We have another caller here who wants to engage. Producer Patrick, call it through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, CA.
Good morning.
And your guests and Aaron.
Good morning.
In the scripture, in the Bible, right, some of the voice says, woe is the country when the slaves become king.
Yeah.
What does that mean? And also, every African slave took their way of God, made a spirit worshiping. We have Obia. The French Haiti have Creole. The Brazilian blacks have their own way of doing their spirit work. How come? Even the French took their black slave in New Orleans. And that's how in the bayou get voodoo worshiping. Like, there was something that we did that we didn't lose. It's getting unpopular, but we did it because we brought it on a ship. Obia, voodoo, and Brazil, I forgot. Who could colonize Brazil?
Portugal.
Portuguese. The Portuguese now, they white Brazil. They brought in plenty white people to make it more whiter. And they treat their slaves the worst.
Just like the DR.
The worst. Mm-hmm. And cool.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have three agnostics here?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Okay, find it out. Do we have plenty of agnostics?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks for the this religion is confusing. Because the white people use it to treat it mean, to use religion to keep us in check. But they don't go to church, but we go. We went. Because it's a better life in the next life.
Yeah.
There's daytime now to enjoy paradise, but we just believe that we don't worship. We could be kings in the next life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just confusing, and I guess we have to, learn for ourselves.
Well, okay. Thank you very much.
We must seek guidance is what we must do. We must question those who we seek guidance from. The first point you made of when woe be unto a nation when the slave becomes king. is simply speaking about a mentality. Just because an Emancipation Proclamation or some new law is passed to say that you are emancipated doesn't mean that the mindset has changed. So if the people who are now emancipated don't actually go back to where they were before they were enslaved or before they got into the condition that allowed slavery, then you just continue the cycles and the systems that ultimately were being perpetuated during your slavery. You just now are at the helm of it. You understand? And so that's the issue with that. Go ahead.
I have a text. Mm-hmm. It says, nothing good comes out of Africa is not in the Bible. Mm-hmm. The scripture is, can anything good come out of Nazareth?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
In the Nazarenes were black people.
That's they definitely were. And that word. Yeah. So the reality is that when these scriptures were being reintroduced
to Africans.
To Africans and indigenous people all over the world. The people introducing these scriptures had to make themselves superior. And in doing so, they had to make those who were not like them inferior.
But why change the name of Jesus? Why change it from Yeshua? Why couldn't they have said Yeshua one time? Why put a J?
Because unfortunately, when the Europeans say JC, we hear Jesus Christ. They say Julius Caesar. So they're not making reference to the African Messiah. They're making reference to the European Messiah.
You only get in heaven with that kind of talk, man. You can't go to heaven with that type of talk. We have one more caller here. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Oh, see, I forgot this. Mm-hmm. Now, the scripture that says, woe is the country that when the king becomes slaves, wasn't the Jews slaves too?
Depending on which ones you're talking about.
In Egypt.
Well, that story has not been verified. That there's no verification.
So the Red Sea didn't pass. Moses did not free them.
The Red Sea is about waist height. You could walk across it without all the miracles. So that story, there's no record of the so-called Jebusite Jew being enslaved in Egypt by Egyptians. Now, there are records of the Hyksos ruling for 400 years, whereby we understand that these people who enslaved the Africans then turned around and said the Africans enslaved them. The same thing they're going to try to do again now.
Do you think we were the people of Babel, or Babel, why we are so kind of confused? But we worship gold. We love gold. The Jews don't like gold. They sell gold.
My brother, that's Jew for jeweler. Jew.
But they own the world.
We have the mind of the beast. We don't live in the image and after the likeness of the Most High anymore.
Thank you very much, caller.
Hello?
Go ahead, quickly.
Even when Hitler took the gold and diamonds and...
You ever heard of mono...
They still was rich.
Caller, you ever heard of monoatomic gold?
No.
When Kanye says it's in a black man's soul to rock that gold. We initially think, oh yeah, they're saying that we used to be kings and stuff. But have you ever heard of monoatomic gold?
I don't like your anti-Semite type talk.
I don't understand why, because
you can't be anti-myself.
In the break just now, you convinced me.
Yeah?
Yeah, you convinced me. Because I figure if the Greeks created crack conch, then they must have created the world.
Mm. One thing I learned yesterday, I had a Greek Orthodox church, not dressed as a church, a representative who know the history.
Right. I caught some of that yesterday. Right? It's pretty good.
And what I found entertaining, mm-hmm. one point, we soon go right now, they said in their practice mm-hmm. of the religion, they are very, they have a lot of Jewish rituals. Mm-hmm. In fact, they have more Jewish rituals than some Jews.
Right.
I found that entertaining. Which in
was,
terms
that was the point we were making last week.
Old Testament rituals, you mean?
Old Testament
rituals.
Yeah. Okay. Because is there a distinction between Old Testament rituals and Jewish rituals?
Yeah, in many instances, yeah. But the reality is, last week we touched on the fact that these Jews that the Messiah was talking to were the Greek Jews.
Greek Jews now?
Yeah, but the word Jew is the word Greek and Hebrew combined. You take the G from the Greek and the U from the Hebrew, and that's where the word Jew comes from, and then they take the G and make it a J. So there's no Jew in original scripture. That's that word itself, the tribe of Judah or Yahudah, is an original scripture, but that word Jew or jeweler is talking about the Ashkenazim Jews.
And let's make a distinction between ethnicity nationality and genealogy, correct, right? Like these, there are distinctions there.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's
important. Yeah, because if you want to talk about the, they have a tribe called the Lemba tribe. You can look those up.
Yes, that's the South African people.
Yeah, but they're, right, but they're the original Jews.
But then it helps us to understand that there's a difference between being white or identifying as white, which is a racial construct, and being of European descent. Mm. See, because then when you know that, then you'll know that there were indigenous European people too.
Yeah.
And those indigenous European people also suffered at the hands of imperialism.
Yes.
They wipe out their own, as well as us.
The word slave, is they're talking about European Slavs.
Mm-hmm. We can talk about masters and slaves on the next show. And as we come to an end, I want to talk about enlightenment.
Sure.
And we can't talk about it now. I'm prepping for the next show.
Sure.
And, another question for next week. Is there a Holy Spirit? And who is the Holy Spirit? Please explain. That's from the mayor of Grand Bahama.
I'm not writing it down for next week.
Please.
I just want to know, is there other path to salvation?